You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What the hey, dude? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Should you wish to be a part of the radio broadcast, today is a wonderful day to make that happen. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, is on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM. On the opposite side, literally, of the board.
Yeah, that was a double intro. I don't know if you know it. You intro twice, but you did. I mean, you all right? You good?
Yes, I'm wonderful. I do not know.
In case you guys didn't know, that's Rob Brown.
That's me.
I'm Lonzo. Okay.
Did I introduce you twice?
You introduced yourself twice and me twice. The second one was a little more elaborate.
Well, we deserved it.
Yeah, I agree.
We deserve it. So, NGL. I look up at the TV every handful of minutes or so. And what I have seen is that every time I look up at the television, there's football on. Now, the talking heads shows this AM are doing what the talking head shows do, which is to just ask the same questions and have the same debates every single day. Like right now, I shan't say what show we are looking at and talking about, but the question is, will the Chiefs be good this year? Like, all right, I feel like we, granted, that's a fine conversation to have, but like, I've seen it fit 11 times. Okay.
That's why I have been, and I may have to change since some news broke over the weekend. I've been watching NFL Network, and they jump around to all the camps. This morning, I got to watch a wonderful thing on the New Orleans Saints.
Wonderful is probably stretching it, but
yeah,
I
was going to say they didn't seem to be too high on the team. So, I mean, you know, they were just like trying to find things to make it sound like it's you should be hopeful.
I mean, Spencer Rattler, from what I understand, looked pretty good the last few days.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, I mean, whoa, living on a prayer. That one being, of course, that Rattler gets the start and the opportunity to prove himself because I am a 99.972% confident that if he does not start week one, the wife's out on the Saints this year. Like, I've gotten her in over the past 5 years. I'm relatively sure if they don't start Spence, the grudge that she will hold against them will overshadow her willingness to be a Saints fan in order to make me feel better on Sundays.
So there's a chance that you might be going, oh, shuck, as so many times.
Yes, there is. Here is, if there is any good news, the good news here might very well be that oh, wait, there's none. Never mind.
You had hope for like, I don't know, about 5 seconds of dead air. And then you realize that, no, there isn't any.
There isn't.
No, there is hope because they play in the NFC South and there's always a chance.
The good news, if there is any, is very simply that we might be so bad this year. We may very well be so bad this year that all the quarterbacks get a chance. That might be the good news.
Hey, maybe the Browns will trade you Kenny Pickett, huh? There you go.
I'll take my shot with Rat Daddy. Thank you very much. All right. We got a lot we got to get to on the radio program. Let's knock this out real quick. Let's talk a little bit more National Football League. Now, 5 minutes ago, I made fun of one of the big talking head shows because they have lumbered into the "Is Kansas City bad now?" conversation that has been happening for a while. And respectfully, I think that's a silly take.
No, it's don't say respectfully. It's disrespectful.
No, respectfully, it is a silly take. It is, even I will acknowledge, tiptoeing into the Chiefs' disrespect that Lonzo loves to lean into every single year. As I mock them for leaning into the same old conversation, allow me to now dive into the Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones situation, which is all we talked about this weekend. Now, I have addressed this ongoing situation for two reasons. The first is the acknowledgement that whether you, I, or anybody else likes it, the Cowboys, by being as arrogant, entitled, and obnoxious as they are, and by that I mean 97% of their fans, the 3% of them that aren't, work for and manage this station. All the rest of you, though. I do this segment, A, because I know there's a lot of them, and B, because of them, I know many of us have some level of schadenfreude about this football team. That is to say, we live for, enjoy, embrace their continued existence of mediocrity and enjoy the lamenting of their fans. So, we talked about it quite a bit last week, that JJ has unnecessarily extended the drama between the Dallas Cowboys and the guy that I truly believe is their best football player, Micah Parsons. When I say unnecessarily, what I have taken away from it is this. Micah Parsons wanted a new contract. He did not get one. And just a few days ago, Micah Parsons said he does not wish to play for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. That is a nearly direct quote. He said, "I no longer wish to play for the Dallas Cowboys." He put that on Twitter. He also said on Twitter that he personally handed his trade request to Stephen Jones, the son of Cowboys owner / general manager Jerry Jones. And by the way, Jerry's doing a great job. Just ask any Philadelphia Eagles fans, and they'll be happy to tell you. Since then, this story has gotten even more, I don't know, interesting, hilarious, or sad, depending on who you ask. Interesting and hilarious to me. Sad if you ask any fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Because Jerry, never seeing a microphone that he did not feel compelled to say words into, Jerry was asked about it over the weekend after the trade request was submitted by Micah Parsons. And Jerry said that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you guys never get told. And then he said, and I quote, "Don't lose any sleep over it." That's the one thing I would say to our fans. Don't lose any sleep over it. Jerry then responded to a statement that Micah Parsons also made over the weekend. When Micah acknowledged, or should I say, accused the Cowboys of avoiding his agent. Mike has basically said, they kept coming to me with offers, and I kept saying, go to my agent. Micah Parsons said, they never once approached my agent with an offer. Jerry, though not directly, indirectly said that he made offers, including, allegedly, one of north of $200 million guaranteed to Micah Parsons, and that he and Micah were making progress on getting a deal done before his agent got involved. And after the agent got involved, that is when the conversations either stopped or started going sideways or whatever. I don't know what the truth is. What I do know is Micah Parsons, I did this survey on the BetMGM network across all of the host directors, producers, bouncers, and electricians that I work with on the weekends. Because I was on BetMGM Friday night, I was on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday, and I did a couple of guest spots yesterday. And I asked everyone that I came across while having this conversation, if I asked you to power rank Micah Parsons in the edge rusher position category in the NFL, where would you have him? And I did not meet one person that said they had Micah Parsons outside the top three or four. And I think that's abundantly fair. I think it's abundantly fair to say he is, without question, a top five edge rusher. I would say, without question, a top four edge rusher. I would be willing to say I would have him inside of the probably top three edge rushers. And considering this guy has been in Dallas since he got drafted, since this guy has been committed pre-draft, there was a video going around over the weekend of Micah Parsons before the draft. There he was selected by the Cowboys, asking, who do you want to play for? And saying, I hope it's the Cowboys. I've been a lifelong Cowboys fan. I want to start with the Cowboys. I want to end with the Cowboys. I want to be a Cowboys. And I want to be a Cowboys forever. This guy has been uniquely committed to this football team in an era of guys not doing that. And yet, here we are. So JJ is now effectively accusing the agent of screwing it all up, saying we had a deal, we had numbers, we were good to go, but then the agent stepped in and it's been all downhill. And Micah saying, how is that the truth? You never even talked to him. You kept coming to me. And I was saying, no, go to my agent, go to my guy, go to the guy who gets me as much money as I can. Go to that guy, get that deal done with him. And now a guy who quite literally cried when he got the phone call from Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys that they were drafting him. Now that guy does not want to be a member of that football team anymore. And this is why the conversation we had last week becomes important.
Really quick, so is this more about the pay? I mean, I know the pay is important, but is this more about what Jerry Jones is saying in the media? To the point where this is a matter of pride. Now you need to get up out of there, because if you play for this guy with the stuff that he's saying, then you're basically saying that it's okay.
I do think there is probably some degree to that. In fact, there were a number of ex-athletes that have encouraged, applauded, handed flowers, whatever you want to use, to Micah Parsons for doing this. Saying, hey, man, like you are doing things. I think Dez Bryant was one of them, actually, because we all remember the drama that led to Dez Bryant's exit from the Dallas Cowboys. Dez Bryant was, you could argue, maybe coming out of, but still in his prime when he left Dallas. And Dez was kind of in a similar situation in that he had nothing but positive things to say about the Dallas Cowboys when he was there. But then he gets out, and there was some bickering back and forth, and he's mostly put it to bed. But Dez got involved in the story over the course of the weekend when he tweeted out effectively calling Jerry Jones a liar, effectively calling JJ to the carpet, and said at one point, and I don't have the tweet pulled up in front of me, but basically said, because JJ invoked the name of Dez Bryant, basically compared the situations, invoked the name of Dez Bryant, and Dez said on Twitter, whoa, don't bring me into this, bro, because I got stories too. And if you want story time, we'll have story time with Dez. And JJ ain't brought Dez up again since then. Here's what I think, in my ever so humble opinion, just based on the way it's played out, here's where I'm at. Number one, I think Micah Parsons is gone. Now, I had somebody on the show on Saturday say, wait a minute, Rob. Remember, Myles Garrett said the same thing in Cleveland. And then he became the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. And I said, yes, but there are two things here. Number one, I think that Myles Garrett had a leverage play there. Quick, name me another Browns defensive player. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? No? Didn't think so. Myles Garrett knew for a Browns football team that no matter how bad they are, just refuse to acknowledge that they are bad. They like, this team has been due for a reboot, rebuild for a number of years now, and they don't do it because the Haslams just refuse to acknowledge, hey, we have kind of allowed this football team to be bad. Like, we've allowed them to get bad. So they just keep up in the game. And Myles Garrett knew that. Terry McLaurin, Washington Commanders, not getting paid, said he requested a trade. Leverage play. Because outside of Debo, who is not very talented, not a number one receiver. He's a utility guy. He's a plug-and-play guy. You can put him at the one, but you can put him at the two. You can put him at the three. You can put him in the slot. You can put him on the wing. You can put him in the backfield. He's that Reggie Bush can do a little bit of anything and everything guy. And because of that, he's not your one. Quick, name me another Commanders wide receiver. Remember, they got a good team, went to an NFC championship game last year, have Jaden Daniels, the reigning defending, and the reigning NFL offensive player, rookie of the year. Quick, name me another Commanders wide receiver. You can't, because they don't have anybody else. McLaurin's pulling a leverage play. I don't think Micah Parsons is pulling a leverage play. I think he's being sincere. I think he wants out. I think he, and this is going to be the big question, is he and will he sit out? Will he say, you know what, I'd rather not get paid than play here? Because if the answer is no, then none of this matters. If the answer is he wants out, no, or he's not willing to sit out, none of this matters. And do keep in mind, he only has to play six games. If he plays in six games, he gets a year's service time, which means he still gets paid. But if he does sit out, Dallas is kind of bleeped on defense, if we're being honest. So, is he willing to sit? And I think he is. I think the vibes are different. He's still there. He's still whatever. But I think he's willing to sit when time comes around. Here's what I think actually happened. I think Jerry Jones made a point. I think Jerry Jones is too prideful, is the word I'm going to go with here, though there's other ones I could use. I think he's too prideful to take a step back, walk it back, and go, yeah, you know what? I need to lay down on this one. I need to pay our best player. Let me lay down. I think he's too prideful to do it because he would have to acknowledge he is wrong. You know what the most dangerous guy in any situation that involves authority is? The guy who refuses to acknowledge he's wrong and fix the mistake. You ever work for a guy who won't say, I'm wrong, that's on me, and here's how I'm going to fix it? Get the hell out of that situation. Because you are going to go down with that ship. So, I think that's where we are. I think Jerry screwed up. I think Jerry's too proud to acknowledge it and fix it. And I think it's going to cost them the best player they have on the football team. A bad owner / GM can ruin your franchise. That's why Dallas ain't been back to the dance in 30 years. Back after this, not in 30 years, in like 3 minutes on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I do want to very quickly address, finish off that conversation about Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys that we were having before we went to break. There has been conversation about Jerry not wanting to trade Micah, and I'm sure that he does not. And I do acknowledge that there is the chance that I'm very wrong, that Jerry at some point decides that even if he's got to, without saying it, acknowledge he's wrong and give the contract to Micah Parsons, that puts him into that top three best paid edge rusher spot that, in my ever so humble opinion, he's earned. He's got to acknowledge he was wrong, even if he doesn't outright say that he was wrong. There is the chance that he does not trade him. My belief is that he will. And I have heard a lot of complaints that he won't, or a lot of pushback that he won't, because there won't be a big return for him. I'm going to say I don't believe that's the case. Because over the past couple of years, I think edge rusher has jumped up next to quarterback as the most important position on the football field. I have pointed out a couple of times. I think that there are guys in this year's NFL draft at the edge rush spot that in years gone by would have been a second or a third round pick that ended up going in the first round, because teams will take a flyer, will take a risk to try to find the next great edge rusher. And just for the lulls, Jared Allen, who went into the NFL's Hall of Fame this weekend, Jared Allen was viewed as a seventh round draft pick. When he came out of college, he was viewed as an unathletic, mediocre speed, not super physical third round draft pick. Guy got enshrined in the Hall of Fame this weekend. Teams are going to be willing to, as they are with quarterbacks, draft them well ahead of their grade, hoping that they stumble into a Tom Brady, stumble into a Jared Allen, stumble into a Hall of Famer. So because of that, if tomorrow Jarrah didn't he come out and go, yeah, we thought about it, and we decided we're going to go ahead and put him on the block, I do think he would get a good prize. Probably not as much as if it was wide open. Probably not as much as it would be if Micah Parsons was already on a contract that he was happy with. Because whoever goes and gets this guy, they understand they're going to have to immediately assign him to a new contract that is going to eat up a chunk of the cap, which also limits the number of teams that can get him. But there are teams that can get him, and there are teams that have the flexibility to create a contract for Micah Parsons that he would be happy with, and they would pick up one of the top two or three edge rushers in the National Football League. So I don't know how this plays out. There is a chance that Micah's back with the Dallas Cowboys. But as I said Saturday, and I do my darndest not to make prognostications based on the vibes. But I got the vibes here. I got vibes. I got vibes that this one's different. This is not a leverage holdout. This is not a just trying to get paid and playing the bluffing game holdout. I fully and honestly believe that Micah Parsons is done with Dallas. This doesn't feel like a lot of the other guys. Myles Garrett, Terry McLaurin, where it felt like, this is a leverage move. This is a guy who understands that he's got the leverage to strong arm the team into giving him what he wants. This is a dude that recognizes, I don't know what else I have to do for you. I genuinely don't know what else I can do. I've gone to multiple Pro Bowls. Yeah, I've been injured, but not like end of career over and over and over again injured. I've been here, I've done that. Granted, there is the pushback that repeatedly Micah Parsons has disappeared in playoff games for the Cowboys.
Wait, the Cowboys play playoff games?
Not often, but yes.
Okay, all right.
They have done it more than a couple times. Recently, just not as recently as I'm sure Jarrell and the rest of the game
were. How good were they last year?
Not great, Bob.
Okay, all right.
Not awful. Not awful, but not great. I get the criticism. There are some aspects of Micah Parsons' game that, yes, even I will acknowledge are problematic for a guy who wants a $200-plus million deal with most of it, if not all of it, guaranteed. But, again, in order to get that deal done, Jerry would have to, at this point, I fully believe, give Micah Parsons everything that he wants, which he's already said without saying, I'm not going to do, and also come out and acknowledge I'm wrong. And if there's one thing Jerry Jones has become known for since he decided to name himself as the acting general manager 3+ decades ago, it's never doing that. Like I said, if you ever find yourself working for, employed by somebody who is known for their refusal to take accountability and responsibility for mistakes that they have made, get the hell away from that guy. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. If you're working for somebody who has never been willing to say, yeah, guys, I may have screwed that one up. That's on me. That's my bad. Get away from that guy because you are on a sinking ship and it will take you down with it. All right. Speaking of, real quick, just because we had the discussion, the Terry McLaurin thing, like I said a few minutes ago, I genuinely think that's a leverage play. The Commanders last year, NFC Championship game, Terry McLaurin was a big part of the reason why. They don't really have anybody else. I don't think that they can have to. By the way, there's still questions about Debo. Debo showed up to camp overweight. I am not on the fat Debo hate train. I get it. It was off season. Same with Patrick Mahomes. That's a dumb take.
Is he fat Debo now?
He's not skinny Debo.
Okay. Well, he's always been kind of big.
It ain't that. Dude showed up with a couple of LBs. Well, not
hate. Is he like Butterbean or something? How fat are we talking?
A noticeable, cannot dispute it difference. He has some LBs he carried in. That being said, I also know that Debo Samuel's a workhorse. I also think that there is probably, based on his departure from the San Francisco 49ers, I also suspect we are going to get the Debo Samuel revenge tour. But, yes, he is carrying a few more LBs than he was when he was at his prime in San Francisco. He's not, even if he gets back down to his best playing weight, he's not the best version of himself. And if he's not the best version of himself, even if he is the best version of himself, but if he's not the best version of himself, no, he's not a number one. Terry's doing it because he knows he's got all the leverage in the situation. I don't think Micah Parsons has much leverage at all other than I'm your best player. So if you want me here, pay me, and if you don't, I'm gone. So we'll see how this plays out. All right, we'll get away from the NFL when we come back here in just a minute. John Blau is a young, intrepid reporter who covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. Let's give a check-in after a few days of practice up in Clemson, South Carolina, where he thinks the Tiger football team is today and where he thinks it will be in just over 3 weeks when the Tigers play the Tigers in Death Valley. The one that's here. That's next. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is Monday morning at 8:40 in the morning, which means now, as we do every Monday, we turn to the phone lines and we welcome in a young man who covers the Clemson Tigers athletic department for the Post and Courier. Joining us now on the radio program is John Blau. John, welcome back to the show, big fella. How we doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I'm very well. Let me ask you a question real quick. Broadcast professional to broadcast professional, is there a word, whether it is in the writing element of the game or the speaking element of the game, is there a word you stumble over? Like, you just know if you have to get that word into an article or into an interview or whatever, is there a word that you stumble over every time?
Man, that's not a question I was expecting. I would need to think about that, honestly. I'm not thinking about something that I stumble over now, but I'm thinking of something from childhood. When I was in the fifth grade spelling bee, the word was pitcher, and I thought they said picture, so I spelled P-I-C-T-U-R-E, and it was actually pitcher, like P-I-T-C-H-E-R, and that one always haunts me.
I'm really glad you said that, because I also have a core spelling bee memory from third grade that'll never go away, which is this kid from southeastern Louisiana got asked to spell the word oyster, and I blew it, John Blau. And of like that entire year is just gone from the Rob Brown memory bank, except that one word of humiliation, not because I lost the B, because the Louisiana family has never let me forget that I lost it on the word oyster. It seems that spelling bee horror memories are like a thing we all share.
Do you not get like ejected from the family and not knowing how to spell seafood element?
I had to fight my way back in, John. I really thought there was a solid chance I was going into the orphanage after that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and me personally, just the lesson was you have to ask for the word in a sentence. That is a very key element. You need to ask to get the context clues. I don't know why I didn't do that. That was a horrible mistake on my part.
Well, if we ever get into an adult spelling bee, John Blau, we've learned our lessons. All right, let's talk a little football here. I know that we are still 3 and some change weeks away from Clemson LSU in week number one, but there's obviously a lot of narrative. This is this is one of the first big few games of official Saturday number one. It is a highlight game. I know we're a ways out, and I want to dial in on some of the things we are thinking about the week one contest, but do you have a 36,000-foot view of this game? There's questions about Cade Klubnik and Garrett Nussmeier. Questions about where Brian Kelly is and how much pressure's on him. LSU going to bring a very unique defense. Not really a nickel, not really a 3-4. They kind of have a star player that runs a linebacker safety hybrid. There's a lot of different directions with this game. What is your way too early but not super early take on that week one matchup where we sit today on August 4th?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the most big picture thing possible. But again, can Clemson win a big game? I mean, you look back on last year, and obviously everybody's really hyped up because they bring everybody back. But you got smoked by Georgia. You lose to South Carolina at home. You lost to Louisville at home. You had to really rally at Texas to make that a game. When you're playing an elite team and you're playing an SEC team, and I know that's obviously going to get a lot of people riled up, whether you like or hate the SEC, but can you, on your own home turf, be not only competitive but win this game? And obviously Brian Kelly's been saying all he's been saying about the Death Valleys in LSU and Clemson's Death Valley Junior and all that. Can you, with the extreme hype of this game, the extreme hype of this season for you guys in terms of all the guys you bring back with Klubnik, like you're saying, with the defense that was lackluster but has a new defensive coordinator, the wide receiver talent being the best it's been in a while, is this a game that you can actually go and win? And I think that's going to, you know, obviously the season's not over if they lose it, but I think the narrative on Clemson is a little different if they, again, lose one of these games, especially in openers that they've not been very good in for a while.
It's a weird spot because on one hand, John Blau, I've said a few times, the loser of this game is in no way, shape, or form eliminated from the playoffs, if only because you can still go win your respective conference and find your way in. But if either one of these teams ends up having to find an at-large spot, they lose in the conference championship game or whatever, this game becomes massively important, both because there's not a lot of room for error in terms of additional losses if you've got to get an overall record-wise, A, and B, would serve as a fantastic resume builder on either side. Do you think that that is kind of an angle that is considered by this team, by Dabo Swinney, by the players itself, or is this just being approached as, let's go win the ball game?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Dabo Swinney and talk about players, I mean, they stick to those coachisms. It's all over their T-shirts at practice, too. You see that they have these shirts on that say one on them, and the O is a paw, and you know it's one day at a time, it's one game at a time, and obviously one is week one as well. But, yeah, they're not, you know, I think thinking very big picture about what does it mean for the whole season, do or die type of thing. I'm sure the way they're framing it is, you know, at this point, still 26 days away. It's about day, you know, 26 away, 25 away, 24 away, and trying to, you know, quote unquote, dominate each day. So I don't think inside the building they're talking a lot about, you know, we need to win this game to prove whatever to X, Y, or Z. I know Dabo has said many times, if you win or lose the first game, doesn't matter because you have to then beat the next opponent because you lose to Troy, that's even worse. And so I'm sure, it's, again, like you said, very much just win the ball game, but win each day first, even though that sounds boring to all of us. It's the way they have to think about things and approach things.
John Blau of the Post and Courier joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson athletics. I was at ACC Media Days, John. I saw you walking around as well. I've been paying attention to some of the pressers and all that Dabo's been doing afterwards. I think you probably see this. I do on this end where we interact with fans constantly. There's a different atmosphere, environment, or a conversation happening about the Clemson Tigers out here this year, John. In the last couple of years, it's been, well, we should be good, but there's this and there's that. This year, it's a lot of, we should be good, period, end of sentence, expectations are there. Is that pressure or expectation, whatever word you want to use here, do you think that's permeated around the football team? Are the expectations of the team by the team, are they palpable around them, or is there some other attitude of let's just go win by week by week? I know that's kind of a tough question to nail down, but is there elevated expectations of the fellas that are going to be dressed out on Saturdays?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's at least a kind of a hope that they can be one of those great Clemson teams. We heard Wade Woodhead say it last week. He was talking about, he's kind of tired of Dabo Swinney talking about how great, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Austin Bryant, Dexter Lawrence, all those guys were. He wants all the pictures on the wall to be torn down, and they end up putting, you know, up all the players from this year's team up there. So, I mean, they do have that kind of grand vision, maybe that kind of embrace of the expectations that we have a lot of talent coming back. This team is good enough to be one of those great Clemson teams, and they wanna, you know, execute on that. They wanna make that vision a reality. And you know, and obviously you're talking about fans, but I remember, I forget if it was yesterday or the day before, Amari Rodgers, the Clemson receiver, was on Twitter saying, "Hey man, I've been as excited for a season since my playing days than this season, because he does really feel like he could be special. So fans, former players, the players themselves, I think they all know there's a chance here with the senior quarterback with so much back with the offensive line again, first-rounders potentially on defense, all that. But again, they have to follow through. You can't just bring everybody back and all of a sudden that's better. You do have to get better and you have to execute better and you have to play better to kind of succeed on those things.
Did you have any takeaway from Media Days? Was there anything that jumped out? Like last year, we had Kate on, we had Dabo on. There were a couple of things they said that I kind of wanted to follow up that sparked my interest. It felt very, as much as this applies ever to Dabo Swinney, certainly does, I think, to some degree to Kate Klubnik, it felt very buttoned down. It felt very business approach this year compared to years gone by, John Blau. Like, it seemed to me like this team, that the guys representing this team at Media Days were just kind of locked in and locked down a little bit. Did anything jump off the table at you, or did you get a similar vibe from them?
Yeah, no, it was a very similar vibe. You know, people were lobbing questions at them about, you know, at Brian Kelly and, again, the Death Valley comments, all the stuff they've been saying. And I think that, you know, the quote-unquote juiciest thing was maybe T.J. Parker saying, we'll figure that all out on August 30th. It was kind of alluding to the fact we're going to settle it on the field. But he really didn't kind of knew. Again, they know the expectations. They know what everybody's saying about him. It's kind of like Nick Saban said with the rat poison, if you let in too much positivity, you embrace that too much, that's horrible for you. I mean, I think they're kind of taking a little bit of that approach that, A, it doesn't matter, all the guys that said we stunk all those years ago, Kate Klubnik in particular said that, you know, it doesn't matter all the people who are telling me I'm going to win the Heisman this year. And so, it seemed very business-like. I remember seeing when the big weigh-in was starting, Dabo Swinney saying, hey, talking season's over. I think they're kind of happy that, you know, quote-unquote talking season is over. Obviously, they still got to talk a little bit to us in interviews for the next couple of weeks until we get to the LSU game. But, very businesslike, not trying to feed LSU any bulletin board material, trying to just kind of get on their way and get to the season.
All right, last one, and then we'll let you go, John Blau. We've seen the boys out there in practice a little bit. We've started to see the social media clips fall around. The big question, I think, this year is going to be, what is Clemson's run game? We know LSU is going to want to be on the attack defensively. They're going to want to try to get into the backfield quick. The solution is a good run game. Obviously, you've got a kind of converted wide receiver in Adam Randall being the guy that seems to be the lead with running back. We've talked a number of times about Gideon Davidson, et cetera. What have we seen in terms of the development of the run game so far? Way too early, a month out, less than a month out, but a month out. What are the expectations for Clemson's ability to keep the ball on the ground to keep LSU's defense honest and away from Cade Klubnik?
No, like you said, that's the biggest question. And obviously, we get to see some open practice. We don't get to see a whole lot. But, you know, Adam Randall, to be running back number one right now, that says one of two things. Either he's really proven that he can do it and he's pretty natural at it and he's transitioning really well, or they really just don't have anybody else that's ready right now. So you can take that one of two ways, but you know, Adam Randall, it's been all positive reviews of him thus far. I mean, he's talking about how he's studying all these guys, Deebo Samuel, Cordell Patterson, even, you know, Cam Newton, kind of studying how he kind of runs the ball hard and obviously a 6'2", 235 pound guy, huge, a little, you know, angular, definitely has to lower the pad level a little bit, but a guy who gives you a lot of different options in terms of the run of the pass game. But I do think, and this is just a small thing I noticed at practice, you know, Gideon Davidson was the one paired with Adam Randall when they were doing these resistance band workouts, kind of trying to hold him back. It seems like that's the 1-2 right there. I think Adam Randall is your guy, kind of holding down the fort for as long as you need, and then they're kind of hoping Gideon Davidson takes a step, I think, as fast as he possibly can and gets you that true running back, really talented guy, which obviously it's easier behind an experienced offensive line. So, again, huge mystery. I do not know, and I don't think we're going to know until we see it. But if you believe the positive hype about Adam Randall, if you believe Gideon Davidson is as talented as everybody seems to think he is, then Clemson should be okay in the run game.
You'll love to hear it. A little mystery, a little intrigue as we get set for Clemson-LSU in week one. John Blau covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. Kind enough to give us a little time every Monday at 8:40 a.m. John, appreciate it as always, big fella. We got football in 3 weeks, man. Start, get some naps, get ready. We're almost there.
Yeah, I'll definitely find it some time for some extra ones. I appreciate it.
Thank you. No doubt. John Blau, Post and Courier. Find him on X at John Blau, JON_Blau, BLAU. Ladies and gentlemen, kick off your shoes. Unless you're at work, then keep them on. You're not a savage. Relax. Enjoy the best 60 seconds of audio pleasure you will get all day long. It's time for a sports flash.
Kick your shoes off at work. I don't have mine on right now.
Gross.
I mean, you know. Who needs shoes? MLB's first ever Speedway Classic played on the infield at Bristol Motor Speedway was rain delayed from Saturday into Sunday, but ultimately won by the Atlanta Braves 4-2 over the Reds. Ricky Hudson-Waldrop was credited with the win. The Braves recorded 10 hits over the two-day affair, including a pair of home runs from Greenville native and Wren High School graduate Eli White. William Byron took home the checkered flag at the Indy Corn 350 yesterday, fighting off fuel concerns down the stretch en route to his second victory of the season. Byron ran out of gas at both Michigan and Indianapolis this year, costing him wins. Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Preece rounded out the top five. After showing up to camp in a walking boot with a calf strain, Florida quarterback DJ Lagway returned to active practice over the weekend. Lagway will take limited snaps this week. So good for him.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.